Chapter 55. Zelos swatted away Zell's hand and tore open the note and read it, eyes glued to the message. He shut his eyes a moment, then met Zell's penetrating gaze.
"I've got to do one more thing. Then it will all be over."
Zell grabbed the note out of his hand and read it over.
"Who's this? What does this mean?"
Zelos closed his eyes.
"Please, promise to drive me someplace tomorrow. I'd do it myself, but the hell you will. I'm not even sure I should be out driving around, and I know you shouldn't be. This is nonsense, Zelos. Whatever it is, if it has waited this long, it can wait another week until you're doing better."
"What?"
"I must do this one more thing. I must do it tomorrow."
Zelos met his eyes.
"I'll do anything. Do I have to beg? I will if I have to."
Zell sank onto the bed beside his tortured friend.
"Go, but only if I go with you." "But you don't know what I'm going to do."
"So, if it has anything to do with that bottle, I'm not letting you out of my sight," Zell said sternly.
"Okay."
"Okay what?"
"Okay. You can come with me and meet Mr. Sagram."
"Sagram? I thought he was dead."
"That was Sagram Jr. This is Sagram Sr., his father. Fabrizio's grandfather, too, by the way."
Zelos raised an eyebrow. He wasn't sure that Zell could understand how much he needed to go.
"This is a closure issue, isn't it?"
Zelos nodded.
"Personal or syndicate orders still left undone?"
Zelos closed his eyes and made no motion to answer the question.
"That's what I thought," Zell said curtly. "I don't like this, you know." "Oh, I'm still going with you. I just wanted you to know. I object strongly to your continued involvement in all this. When will it end?" "This is it. It ends with this, I promise."
Zelos opened his eyes.
"And I always keep my promises."
"All right. How long do you think it will take?" "Oh, then tomorrow, after breakfast, we'll leave after I check on Lena. I don't want her worrying about being left out of something. I know, there's an anime she wants to see, but it's not at our local place. We'll go looking for it across town. It won't be a lie. And she'll buy it if we bring back lunch as well."
"Lunch? As a goodwill offering?"
"Okay, it is, Lena."
"Thanks, little brother. This is very important. I'll owe you lots. I already owe you lots.
However am I going to repay you?" Zelos asked.
"You can't. My goodwill can't be bought. But you can do me a favor and get your mind on the near future. Think positively and start thinking about the band and playing music and making something of yourself, just for the summer. No further than that, all right?"
Zell looked at his friend beseechingly.
"Tomorrow. Remind me tomorrow. Not tonight. Too much to think about tonight."
And Zelos closed his eyes and turned his head to the wall, signaling the end of the conversation.
"I won't forget. Good night. Try to sleep,"
Zell whispered, and stepped silently out of the room, up the stairs, and into his own room. He collapsed onto his bed, wishing the next day were over. Zell pulled into the parking lot of the Whispering Oaks Retirement Center and turned off the ignition. Zelos had not said a word the entire trip over. He was clearly delving into some private hell, drawing on some internal strength to pull off his next performance. He was like a man in a trance.
"Zelos, time for you to lead the way," Zell prodded gently.
"Okie dokie."
Zell grinned and exited the car nimbly, considering the bandages wrapped around his chest and abdomen. Together they entered through the front doors and approached the reception desk. Several of the workers recognized him and greeted him warmly, offering him condolences on his losses. They were clearly pleased to see him again. "Yes, Mr. Sagram has been expecting you for some time. We tried to explain that your injuries from the car accident were too serious for you to be out and about, visiting crabby old men. Yes, you'll find him in the same place. Here, take this chessboard," the young woman explained.
"Thank you, Nancy,"
he said pleasantly, and carried the game under an arm. A few hallways later, Anzello stopped. Seated near a window, at a small table was their target. Sagram looked up.
"Eh? Oh, it's you at last. I thought it would be you. I told him, well, you look fine. I was told you were dying in the hospital."
"Exaggerations. You know how the press is. Dress it up to make it a better story. I'm fine now."
Zello smiled and set the game on the table.
"A game?"
"If you want. Set them up."
While Zello moved the chess pieces from a small zippered bag and placed them on the board, Sagram attended to the quiet, intense boy standing to the left and behind Zello.
"So you're a grim child, and not terribly attractive either. What's your name?"
Zelgadus Greywords.
Sagram's eyes sparkled with recognition.
"Yes, the son, no, grandson of the Red Priest. I met him once. Taller than you. Dark hair. Handsome."
Zell looked down at Zelos. The pieces were in place, and he was waiting.
"Shall we begin? You may have the first move, if you like."
Zelos smiled in a relaxed manner. Zelgadus was nervous. He could feel the evil and power emanating from the old man, like a tangible creature, a demon ready to strike. He wanted to bolt, dragging Zelos along with him to safety. The feeling grew stronger, nearly overwhelming him. Then it passed and was replaced by a calm certainty, like euphoria, but Zelgadus style with more control. He looked up and met the old man's eyes.
"Yes, a good-looking man, but weak, unlike you,"
Sagram grumbled and moved a pawn. Zelgadus looked back at the board and watched the game unfold. He wondered at a couple of Zelos's choices. He appeared to be making careless errors, losing an essential piece here, a valuable one there. Zelgadus was practiced at hiding his emotions, though, and so remained unmoved and non-judgmental. He could have as good a poker face as there was. His eyes may have dilated when he thought Zelos made a grave error which placed his king in peril. Then he saw it. The trap was placed, so well disguised that he nearly missed it. Did Sagram see it too? Did he have a countermove to protect his players? Sagram moved a piece without pause. Was he so astute a player to have guessed it all along? Did he have a trap of his own that I missed? Zell tensed. Zelos moved his chessman. The trap was set, the bait, the queen herself, in place. Would he go for it? Oh, he must see what's going on. He'll back off and try another tactic. Zell blinked. Sagram smiled.
You've given me your queen? That weakens your game tremendously.
Zelos leaned back. Ah, well.
It's just a little game of chess, right? Care to stop?
Ha! You'd like that now that I have the upper hand. No, Mr. Metallium, we'll play it out to the absolute end.
Sagram smiled with satisfaction.
If you insist, then, to the absolute end.
Zelos smiled easily and moved forward, choosing a piece and placing it.
Check.
Sagram frowned and studied the board. He moved his king to safety, pressuring a knight and bishop. A good move. He smirked.
Take your pick, which one to save and which to lose.
Zelos nodded. He picked up a piece and set it on the board.
Checkmate. I lose the queen and a few inconsequential players, but I save the king and those that matter. And the game. The game's over, Sagram.
Sagram sat back and sighed. I see. Zelos reached into his pocket and withdrew a small vial.
This is for you. Consider it a gift, a consolation prize for the loser. It's better than you would have given me, I'm sure.
Sagram reached out, snagged the bottle in his claw-like, shriveled hand, and chuckled deeply in his throat. Compassionate bastard, aren't you? Zelos didn't answer. He simply extended a hand and said, Thank you for the game. I can't say I enjoyed myself, however. I'm leaving now. Oh, and I understand it tastes best in red wine, though I don't know firsthand. I don't drink. I'll be checking the obituaries tomorrow morning. Zelos stood and smiled. Goodbye.
Zelgadis nodded and followed Zelos to the reception desk.
Goodbye, Nancy. My work experience here is done now. I'm afraid I won't be able to return due to other obligations. But thank you for the kind recommendation. Goodbye now.
Zelos smiled and shook her hand.
She smiled and said something nice, and then they left. They walked briskly out to the car, as if in a race against time.
Back seat, Zelos gasped, stumbling a little.
Zell opened the back door, and Zelos slid in, then stretched out, shaking with released tension and exhaustion.
Home?
Zell asked, starting the car and heading out to the street.
Do your errands. I just need to unwind,
Zelos said in a whisper. Zell drove on to several video rental stores until he found the multiple volumes Lena wanted, then stopped at an Italian bakery for pizza bread and limonata sodas to take home for lunch. When he parked in front of his home, Zelos was asleep. He labored over whether or not to wake him, when a purple sparkle from a half-opened eye signaled he was waking up on his own.
Home already?
Zelos smiled and struggled to sit up.
Yes, I thought we might picnic in the front room and watch some of this series. Can you get there on your own? Good. I'll get Lena and come back for the food if you can get the VCR started. Thanks.
What? Zell asked. Zelos wrapped his friend in a very brief hug and whispered,
Thanks, Zelgadis. You are the best person I will ever know.
He scooped up the tapes and walked into the main house before Zell could say anything.
You're welcome, Zell said in a low voice and took off in the other direction. Big brother.
Lena accepted the invitation and clambered into the wheelchair without help. I'm gonna be able to walk over tomorrow. That's my goal. Hey, if I don't have a goal, I don't make any headway, right? Of course I'm right! Hey, Zelos, hand me one of those pizza things. Okay, now listen to the theme song. The Record of the Lotus Wars theme music is great, huh? Do you think we could do it Slayer style? Well, think some more, and we'll talk about it some more later.
Haha, see, Zelos, it's you.
Okay, so he's a bit chubby, but Eto's a priest, and he has your hair. Purple page boy. Cool, huh?
Lena laughed.
Zell agreed, but Zelos didn't see any similarities. He was saved any further teasing by the arrival of his psychiatrist. Zell answered the door.
Hello? Yes, Zelos is here. Come in. We're just watching movies. This is our good friend Lena. Lena, this is a doctor to see Zelos. We should go.
But Zelos wanted them to stay. His spirits were soaring, as if a great burden had been lifted from his shoulders, and he wanted to share this with his two closest friends.
So, you seem more cheerful today, the doctor noted.
Yes, indeedy.
How about the uncontrolled anger?
Only once this week.
Anxiety?
Nope, all gone.
When are you going to see Dr. Adams next?
End of the week. Right, Zelgadis?
Zell nodded. He kept track of the dates and times, as suited his nature, for the entire household. He found that coordinating 5 busy lives was easier that way. You'll be getting out from under the wraps soon, taking off the bandages. Have you given any thought to returning to school? The doctor asked. Zelos shook his head. I'm afraid, frankly. These 2, plus a handful of others, are the only ones I can be myself around. I've been putting on an act for so long. I don't want to go back and start all over, pretending... Pretending? Lena, unable to contain her silence for long, piped up. We all have to go back, and we're expected to be part of a CIA cover-up and play charades around the truth. He's not the only one with that problem. All of us are. Poor little Amelia is so disheartened, I can't stand it. And if you think he's scary when he gets out of control, I have no qualms about using all my powers to blow up the entire city of Seirun. Well, not exactly. I mean, I've been watching a little too much anime lately. She smiled wanly and settled back down a bit. But you get the point, huh? The doctor smiled. I understand. The pressure must be making the idea of transitioning back into normal life difficult. Normal life? What about that guy's life, not to mention mine and Zell's here, do you think is going to be normal? He's an 18-year-old boy with no parents who lost his innocence to more than one torturous relative and who spent more time in the hospital than school? Are you going to help him pull a normal life out of that? I can answer that, Lena ranted. She's good. She can pose the questions and answer them herself, Zell whispered to Zelos with his trademark smirk. Lena knocked Zell onto the floor with a well-placed kick from her wheelchair. I was the one talking! The answer is, no you aren't. Not you, not his teachers. It's gotta be us, his friends. Oh, Lena, I knew you cared after all, Zelos cried out, then fell into a giggling mass of purple on the couch. Zell, you find some spot on his body to pound for me, will ya? Now, where was I? Yes, thank you, Zell. Getting on with our lives. So, what are you for? Zelos, how much are you paying this yokel? I can get asinine questions for free. You cannot dispense drugs, Lena. Zelos smiled, amused by her antics to push the cool doctor's buttons and get him riled up. Not legally, but you don't need those either. You need to get your ass over to the practice room and set up your drums and pound them again. Zell needs to stop playing our servant and start playing our lead guitarist. That was pretty clever, wasn't it? True also. And if I don't move out of this insane asylum, I'm gonna be a permanent member. Zelos straightened up and grinned. Oh no, Zell shook his head. Lena left herself open for what was coming. That was true. It wasn't a dream. You did promise to marry me if I survived, didn't you? I knew I heard that. Zelos folded his arms smugly. Lena blanched, then blushed in furious succession. Am I interrupting anything here? The doctor asked, flipping over a page on his chart and scribbling a note or two. Zell broke his silence. No, not really. Anything you can do to get this back on course would be appreciated. I can tell you that Zelos has been improving this week, and... Oh, hello, Beast. Lonely or hungry? Little of both? Well, join the club and have a seat. No, not on me. Get off... Oh, just move over some, then. Why do I get the tail end? Whined Zelos, pushing the soft, feathery tail out of his face. And why do animals always stick their feet in your, private parts? Like people are simply uneven pillows. Speaking of pillows, Lena interjected, noticing the complete absence of the dozen or so cushions usually lying around. Redecorating, Zell began. Without me? She wondered. I think the future little lady of the house would like to choose her own colors. What do you think, darling? Zelos smiled. I think, Lena began in a very low voice, I think you and I should take the rest of our discussion into your room, so your friend and girlfriend can get dinner started, and I can delve deeper into the past, said the doctor, standing and pulling Zelos to his feet at the same time. Beast moaned and slid onto the couch without waking up. Zell agreed and stood also, completing the transfer of the old dog to the couch. Lena, I'll take you back to stew in your room while I prepare a stew of my own for dinner. See? I can be clever, too.
Did you hear what he said? What he called me?
Lena croaked. Who are we screaming about now? Zelos or the shrink?
Both! But Zelos was taking advantage of his head condition, knowing I can't pound him, and...
Lena, what do you suppose he was talking about? That dream versus reality stuff, with you making promises to him. Zell wondered aloud.
I have no idea. It's his head condition, I think. It might be a dangerous new side effect. We should tell the doctor.
Lena, you're not convincing. But don't bother explaining. I don't even want to know. Don't even know what possessed me to ask. But, he started again. Huh? But you didn't really, did you? Zell asked quietly. Lena looked in askance at him.
Are you jealous?
No, I just want to know.
No, I didn't. Not really. He knows it too. He's just trying to push his luck. Now, you can't let them go on thinking that. Damn it, he called me his girlfriend. You can't let them think that, Zell. I'm...
Fine, Lena. I'll set them straight. Calm down, Lena. See you at dinner. So, what's really troubling you the most right now? The doctor asked. I need to talk to Lena. But besides that, I have a box of stuff. Sloppy term. A box of mementos from way back. I can't open the box. I can't open the upstairs bathroom. I faint at the sight of my own blood still. I don't know what to do. Stop with that thought. What would you like to do? Right now, have a girlfriend for real. But more realistically, I want our band to get going again, and I'm holding it up the most. Why's that? I can't remember our songs. Not a note, not a word. So selective a thing, the mind is. But I can't play drums yet anyway, so it hardly matters. Have you told them? No, I keep hoping it's temporary, like everything else. Perhaps it is. What else would you like to do? I used to work at the dojo. I'd miss that terribly if I had to give it up for good. I might enjoy dancing just as much, though, but... The doctor nodded. But... I have enough trouble with my image around girls, without that added complexity. Also, it will probably take more work than I want to put into it to get back in shape. You see, I own the studio now. You have many skills. Running a studio may be one of them. Produce a show or a musical. That could be fun. Zelos brightened at the realization. And I'd like to take a vacation, with the whole band. No work, all fun. I've never done that. Well, Zell took Val and me to the beach one day. That was really great, too. That sounds like a good idea, then. I believe you've made remarkable progress these past weeks. Dr. Adams told me that you were a fast healer. I sense other deep-lying insecurities we need to work on, though. The doctor turned back a few pages in his notebook. Oh, I've got those all right. Zelos chuckled. I'm smart, so I get labeled a geek. I'm a drummer, so I get labeled a loser. I'm different, so I'm a nutcase. I'm not tough and buff, so I'm gay. The list goes on and on, but those are the highlights. Insecure? Well, duh. Being smart might be what saves you in the end. I understand your band was a local phenomena, so being its drummer... I'm sure you didn't feel like a loser when you were up on stage, true? Okay, now let's see. Most teenagers try to act pretty weird, but I know the label must hit too close to home for you.
As your confidence grows, your personality will solidify more, and you'll feel like you fit in better. The doctor paused to let his previous words sink in. Zelos rolled the words around a bit, then nodded. Go on. The last point. Well, frankly, when I first started meeting with you, I thought you were gay. So many young gay men were once boys who had been abused. Only, you know how you feel about girls, or other boys for that matter. And if it's girls that interest you primarily, then fine. If not, then that's fine too. Just something else for us to talk about in the future. But it seems you have a girlfriend now? No, just a friend, actually. I'm currently unattached, but I definitely like girls. Then that's a problem we don't have to address. Just the image part. That will change as you mature more and spend time around kids your own age. How about some deeper issues? Let's talk about your mother. Zello squirmed. I'd rather not. I see. Then we've touched on the right subject. The doctor smiled imperceptibly. Zelos kept his mouth closed and looked to the side. I understand she was a well-thought-of woman in town and donated her Wolfpack Island holdings to the Seafeed clan.
That's correct, Zelos replied curtly.
Zelos, I'm your doctor. Nothing you say here leaves this room. But you need to talk about her.
She was all that and more. What has Dr. Adams told you about the family? Well, let me begin at the time before I was born.
Zelos led his astonished listener through an unbelievable story filled with illicit affairs, conspiracy, high drama, horror, and sadness.
So at least Val knows he's not a blood relative and now probably regrets his decision not to shoot her when he had the chance. Me? I handed her over to Mr. Death when I demonstrated the use of my syndicate pendant and then gave it to the CIA.
So you feel it was your fault? You feel responsible for her death? Don't you think she knew it could happen at any time? After her plans fell through, she had ample opportunities to get away. Instead, she went to the island with a very small squad of soldiers for protection. When that fell apart, and here I was thinking that she was hoping her husband would kill her in relative secrecy, or that poor Val kid would break down and kill her. She knew she had one last ace in the hole. You. If you turned over that key information, she knew it would all be over. At last.
Zelos looked at his hands. You mean she expected me to do it? So she could die and not have to suffer the consequences of all her lifetime of evil actions?
Yes. Otherwise, why didn't she demand the pendant's return after you signed up with Fabrizio? She could have returned it to you after you had succeeded in that mission. However, leaving it in your possession bonded you to her and linked you back to her, which ensured her a quick death.
Zelos smiled and shook his head. Probably. But I don't want to go into her head. There were lots of other ways to explain her behavior. But yours is plausible. I certainly wasn't planning to kill her when I pulled out that damn pendant. I only wanted to tell the whole story.
That makes a difference. But even so, after all she's done, the game had been hers and she lost. You were just an unfortunate pawn.
Not exactly. I knew what I was doing. I was working for her. Then, I was working for myself. I just wasn't thinking clearly in the hospital. I didn't think through the consequences of my actions thoroughly enough. Ha ha. My friend, Zelgaris, always harangues me about that.
The doctor smiled. He was making some headway with this kid at last. So, the island giveaway was your idea?
Yes. I really do want the truth to die with her. For Rezzo and me both. It's better that she dies a respected lady.
Agreed. Zello smiled.
Yes, I do. Are you going to make me talk about my father's now?
Zelos smiled. Gav and Dubois? I don't know where to start.
The young doctor chuckled. I could start with Rezzo. He's turned out to be the best. My real one, well, I don't remember him. I used to fantasize about him, turning him into the ideal man. But I've read his journal. He was from another time and place, brilliant but flawed, and in the end, weak. He could have taken me away from her, saved me and himself, but he drank instead, fell into depression, stopped his cancer treatments, essentially gave up. Rezzo, on the other hand, came through for me, putting both himself and his son at risk for me. Rezzo, saving the best for last. Interesting. Have you told him that?
No. I've been a real prick to him.
Zelos frowned. It might go a long way in your healing if you affirmed his importance to you, face to face, the doctor urged. Zelos nodded. Who's next? Me. It's time for me to go now, Zelos. But first, I just wanted to say, as a friend, and not a doctor now, I just wanted to say that for all you've been through, you're quite a remarkable survivor.
Me?
Thanks, I guess. But I never would have made it without my friends. Zelos grinned. The Slayers, huh? Maybe the Survivors is a more appropriate name? Or the Shrine Destroyers? Zelos chuckled. Hey, I'm a priest now, so I can joke like that.
Amelia, what would I do without you?
Silphiel sighed, as the two girls worked, hunched over a large work table. Amelia had cut out 4 kimonos that afternoon and was starting the 5th.
You'd just have to call all these people and tell them about your broken arm, silly. Oh, you know I'm glad to help. It feels good to be doing something worthwhile,
Amelia insisted.
There, Val's gift to Sano is done. Like it?
Ooh, it's gorgeous, Miss Silphiel. He'll love it, I'm sure.
Amelia?
Hmm?
So, you've been spending time with Melvin lately. I think he likes you a lot,
Silphiel giggled.
I guess so, but... But? He's nice, but so young and ordinary compared to someone who will remain nameless?
Silphiel giggled.
Well, yes, but... But he will talk to you.
About nothing of importance,
Amelia finished.
And he's not afraid to ask you out.
Although I haven't said I will yet,
Amelia sighed.
You are so in trouble, Amelia.
Silphiel sighed as well.
So are you! You were making your feelings pretty clear to Zelos the other day, and rather shamelessly, I might add. Really? Practically undressing in his lap?
I took off my sweater. I had a top under it. I think he unclasped my hair on purpose, anyway. Amelia, I was just trying to get him to notice me,
Silphiel insisted.
He noticed you, all right. You know, if you get too aggressive, you'll scare him off. Think of Kiki. They only talk together. He's not very experienced with girls, so if you come on too strong, he'll balk.
You're thinking of the one who must not be named.
Him too. Similar mold,
Amelia agreed.
Aha! Another one done. What's next? Oh, pretty. I might cut one out like this for me. No, this one.
Silphiel looked up at the silk cloth Amelia was holding to her cheek. It was aquamarine, Zell's eyes blue.
Gods, Amelia, choose something less obvious, would you?
Rezzo was listening to the evening news when he heard the soft rustle of a silk kimono.
Zelos? Yes, sir. Do you have a moment to talk, please?
Rezzo turned down the sound and faced up to the origin of the Zelos noises.
Certainly. Have a seat on the couch. What's on your mind?
Zelos kneeled close to Rezzo's chair.
I want to thank you for all you've done for me. I was talking to the doctor, Shrink, this afternoon, and realized that you've been the best father I've ever known. That you've done so much for me. Stood up for me, risked your life for me, and trusted your son and family heirlooms to me.
Zelos moved closer,
resting a hand on the chair for support. And I have been very disrespectful to you. So I wanted to let you know that I do appreciate everything you've done and apologize for my poor behavior. Rezzo was stunned. He was completely unprepared for this outpouring of emotion from Zelos. Or anyone, for that matter. He put an arm around the boy's shoulder and croaked,
"It's okay. I always understood you. Up until now, that is."
Zelos perked up quickly to catch a twinkle of humor in Rezzo's voice.
"I meant what I said, you know," Zelos reassured the man. "Of course. I just don't know quite what to say in return. You are a very odd boy, but my son thinks the world of you, and you have proved yourself courageous and loyal to your friends. I wish I knew what I could do for you to help.
I don't want to be alone. When you move back to your house, Zelgadis will go with you, and I know Val has his own complicated life to explore," Zelos explained.
"I see. Well, now, I have your expectations to live up to, don't I?" Rezzo chuckled. "That's just as well. My own son asks nothing of me. I have not yet worked out all the details, but I'm considering various actions. Zelos, I promise you'll have company. Yours to drive out by your own actions, perhaps. But I won't leave you here all by yourself, all right? You're not crying now, are you? Here, take my handkerchief. I hear Zelgadis coming. You don't want him to see you like this, do you?"
Rezzo smiled and shook his head.
"Oh, he's used to me falling apart by now," Zelos grinned, waving the cloth with a flourish. "Oh, Zelos, I was just going over to check on Lena. Want to come with?" asked Zell. "And give my father back his handkerchief. Don't you know it's not nice to tease a blind old man?"
"Old man!" snorted Rezzo.
Zelos thought that was very funny, and laughed so hard he cried. She wasn't sure how it got in. Luna must have left the loft window open for air or something. Regardless, there it was, staring at her with its shiny black eyes. It was almost the size of a cat, sleek and aerodynamic, ruffling its feathers and edging around the back of her wheelchair, that it claimed as its perch. It cocked its head at her.
"What? What are you looking at?" she demanded.
But the bird didn't answer.
"Shoo! Shoo, you big thing!"
Lena was running out of creativity. The bird continued to stare at her, ruffled its wings, stretched its neck.
"Damn it! I'm sick in bed and I can't reach you! This is going to torture me!"
Silence.
"You remind me of Zell! I scream at you, and you look at me like you know better! Well, you don't! You're just a dumb bird! I won't let you psych me out!"
Silence.
"So you want to fight, eh? Well, to hell with being injured! I can get you from here!"
Lena reached down and peeled off her socks.
"I'm a pretty good shot these days!"
A sock sailed through the air at the bird. Quoth the raven, The loud noises tipped Zell off that there was something wrong. He and Zelos hurried to the door and threw it open, hoping that it wouldn't end with a slap from an indecent Lena.
"Get back here, you black buzzard!"
They were met with the bizarre sight of Lena up and about, chasing something black that flew and emitted loud noises.
"Lena, what the hell are you doing?"
"Stop gawking, boys, and help out, damn you! This damn crow's got in my room, and it was staring at me! And now you've got to get it out!"
"Lena, you're nuts," Zelos laughed, and joined in the chase. "You're nuts. Here, I'll keep the door open, and you guys can chase it out."
Zell ducked as the crow whizzed past his head, squawking all the way. Lena and Zelos cheered, and Zell closed the door.
"How'd it get in?" Zell asked.
"I don't know. I think the upstairs window was left open or something."
"Zelos, close it." "Why me? Just do it."
"Fine."
"Okay, Lena. So you're up and moving. How do you feel?"
"Not bad, Dr. Zell. In fact, that felt pretty damn good."
She grinned as she flopped onto a beanbag chair.
Zell said no more. He knew that it meant Lena was going to be back to her own house soon, and the strange feeling he had concerned him. He should be relieved that he'd have less to do, and happy for Lena's quick recovery. He was, but he was going to miss her. That he was. "Sorry to disappoint you," she began.
"Hey, Zelgadis, give me a hand with this, okay?"
came Zelos' muffled voice from the loft above.
"Yeah,"
Zell answered and left Lena. From the loft, she could hear his irritated voice telling Zelos, "This is no time to be cleaning and moving boxes of crap, Zelos. It's been a long and exhausting day for me, and..."
"Oh, all right. Where do you want this?"
"Downstairs."
"Anything breakable in it?"
"No, I don't remember," Zelos answered carelessly.
"Hey, be careful!"
His 30-pound box of mementos slid down the first 10 steps. Zell nudged the box with his foot, and the box continued on, finally coming to a halt at the bottom. Lena, Zell, and Zelos pushed the box into the center of the room and waited.
"Well, do we open it, or just contemplate its existence?" Lena asked.
"I want to, but I can't," Zelos explained weakly.
"Then I will!"
Lena threatened and ripped off the tape.
"Wait," Zell shouted. "What's inside?" "My past. I need to do this, but I can't."
"So, do you want me to open this? Yes? Zell, get out of my way."
Lena pushed his arm away and pulled back the flaps.
"Ooh, pictures!"
She grabbed a stack and spread them out.
"Look at that tough little kid with his hands and fists and the frowning, narrow eyes. It's black and white, but I bet that's a purple crew cut."
Zell looked in askance at Zelos to check his reaction.
Zelos, if you take your hands away from your face, you'll see better. So far, there are just a few pictures of you. About 7 years old. Would you guess, Lena?"
"Lena?"
Zelos uncovered his eyes to see what had silenced Lena.
"Gav didn't look so bad back then. This one's in color, but
you weren't very happy in this photo either," she pointed out. Zelos picked up another picture. It was similar to the one of his father holding him as a very young boy that was stored in the dresser by his bed.
"This was my natural father with me. Very formal. The series was taken at a photographer's studio one day."
"Yeah, here's one like it. With your mother, too. All three of you," Lena said. "It's weird looking at other people's pictures. You see all kinds of similarities, like Amelia looks like an aunt of hers, while her sister is a copy of their mother. Zell looks like his mother, or so you told me, or Rezo, or someone else said, but also similar in mannerisms to his dad. Now, your face is like your mother's, but your hair and eyes, your father's."
Zelos nodded. "You play soccer, Zelos?" said Zell. "So did I for a while, till I got to middle school. Baseball, too. I was the fastest runner and a dead-on pitcher."
Zelos blinked. He couldn't remember having heard Zell gloat about any accomplishments before.
"Yeah, even better than me. But no one else came close, of course," Lena smiled.
"There's something else to do this summer vacation. I bet that Vaughn kid and Hitomi play soccer and baseball. Kagome still does.
I know, and there's the high school team. Nah, best not to get them involved if it's for fun."
"Whoa, now. You were in lots of dance recitals, weren't you? You looked pretty cute in those tights as a kid."
She grinned and winked at Zelos. He smiled slightly and shook his head.
"At least you got away from the crew cut. Pretty severe. You were in a school play. Which one is this? Let me see if I can figure it out."
Lena squinted over a couple of pictures.
"The King and I," Zell said, leafing through a playlist. "You had the lead?"
"Yes, it needed someone who could dance well and looked remotely Asian. I had to sing too, but, well, you know I'm not great at that."
but I was fierce enough to pull it off. Funny, until now I'd forgotten all about it.
Zello smiled in amusement.
What school was that? You must have lived all over the place.
While my first father was living, we lived out in the country. He drove into the university. But after he died, we lived around. I changed schools every year, I think. I was a troublemaker. After Gav, we stayed around Seyrun. This house belonged to Dubois originally. I found the deed changed over to my mother's name, regardless of what stories she and Rezo made up about the place.
Zelgadis cleared his throat. Well, there's very little left unbroken of his in the place anymore. The kitchen table and the couch? Couple chairs?
Zelos nodded. That's right. I've just about gotten rid of the reminders. And when I can walk through the entire place and not feel his presence lurking around, then I know he's gone from my brain.
In an effort to deftly change the subject, Lena swung around a couple heavy books.
Here's a few yearbooks. Guess you didn't stay long enough in one place to pick up many, huh?
Lena sighed. Want to look through them now or later then?
She pulled out a soft green silk box that appeared aged and worn.
Should I open this?
Okay. This was my father's. Some old pictures he had of his first wife. Your grandmother, I guess, Zelgadis.
Weird.
Here, take these two. That's her and your mother as a baby. That's your mother as a girl.
Zelos passed the pictures over to Zell.
Zell, look how much you look like her. The exact same smirkety know-it-all smirk.
Lena gasped. Looked. Not anymore. It's not in color, but her eyes look dark, probably brown, Zell said, with no emotion. He no longer looked like anything but an accident victim.
Thanks, Zelos. I'd like to have them.
What's this? Another of those syndicate seals? Zelos!
Lena hissed. Hers. My sister's. Her mother's. I should destroy it. Here, Zelgadis.
Don't give it to me, he rocked back in horror. Just put it back where it's been all these years. We'll think about it later.
My father brought her here to escape the syndicate. Some things you just can't run away from. You just have to face the facts and deal with what life gives you. Right, Lena? Oh, more for you, Zelgadis. A book of poems in Japanese. A mother-to-daughter thing, I think. We should take Japanese and try to read the inscriptions, eh?
Zell nodded and opened the book.
It's very old. Some drawings, too. All handwritten. Beautiful. Thanks again.
So what? No stuffed teddies or toys?
Lena asked, peering into the box.
No, I pretty much destroyed everything. Ah, some old albums my father played on the record player.
Yeah, archaic, huh? Singing in the rain, top hat. Have to find a record player. Val would know where to find old electronics, huh?
Zelos asked Lena.
Maybe.
Well, that's about it, Zelos. You don't keep much, mused Lena.
Nor does Zelgadis. When he moved over, he only had his sword, clothes, one box of crap, my acoustic guitar, and my computer. Now I've got more computer crap, a beanbag chair, a portable CD player. Yes, the guitars, plural. No cell phone anymore. Now that came in handy. We need to replace those. And this time, we'll get you one too, Lena.
Zell sank back into his chair and closed his eyes.
Oh, and a car.
In fact, Zelos started up, we should get Gowrie and Silphiel each one, too.
A car?
No, Lena, a cell phone.
Well, then what about Amelia and Philia?
Lena asked, raising an eyebrow.
Well, they can afford their own. But what the heck? Maybe I can get a quantity deal.
Zelos giggled.
I'll order those tonight, and we'll hand them out as surprises. Better yet, we'll make a quick trip to the mall tomorrow.
I'm going to bed, Zell announced.
You and your machinations should too. And Lena, congratulations on your activity tonight. I think I forgot to say that. Why, Zelgadis, how you've changed. Where's the famed cold-hearted bastard? You'll see him again the next time we meet, I'm sure. Zell muttered. Oh yes, you two have something personal to settle. You should do that now. He stood to leave.
Stay!
Zelos and Lena gasped together.
Please Zelgadis.
Why? It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with the two of you. Personally, I'd rather not get involved.
Help mediate, then, just in case I feel like drawing blood, Lena begged plaintively, until the last few words, said with a bit of fang showing for emphasis.
He stood with his back to them and said softly, All right, make it quick. Silence. I can see you need me to get this started. Lena was disturbed today by certain inferences that you two were closer than you really are. Shit, that's lame, Zell grumbled. What happened at the hospital was this, Lena began, needing to purge her soul of the whole ordeal. I was lying in bed, worried about the fate of my friends. I didn't want you to die or become some vegetable, Zelos. So I just blurted out all kinds of drivel, including something to the effect that I'd even marry you if that's what it took to get you to wake up, all right? Get it? Now, how the hell that actually traveled through hospital walls and into your thick skull to then get assimilated and puked out into your dream, I have no idea! Zelos made a face.
You, Lena, you do have a nasty way with words sometimes. I don't either. But it was your voice in my dream.
And that's it, right? Can I go now? Zell started to get up again.
Right, bye,
Lena let out her breath. Zelos laughed.
You two are so funny. You can talk for hours about anything. But when it comes to the important things, like your feelings about others, you get lockjaw and clipped lines, as in cutting off sentences as soon as you think you've made some point. Letting others know how you feel about them is important. We're best friends here. Just open up.
That's not easy, Zell balked.
I don't always know how I feel, Lena declared.
Nor do I, but I try. Let's see. I'll go first and set an example. Lena, I know you don't think of me as marriage or even boyfriend material. Or anyone else that I can tell. But you like Zelgadis a lot, and Gowri too. Course, that doesn't stop how I feel about you. I like you a lot, enough to shut up before I embarrass you any further.
Zelgadis, I think of you as my best friend, and the one I'm closest to in the entire world. See? I love you both, and I can say it, and I don't turn into a toad or anything. Now it's your turn, Lena.
Zelos, I hate doing this stuff. All right, I like you, but I don't need a boyfriend to make my life complete, get it? As long as we can all do stuff together, I'm satisfied. And marriage? We're all so young. Zelos, how can you even joke about that? There are so few enduring ones out there. What do you even know about it?
Lena demanded. Well, I know some things, he grinned. Lena kicked him in the shins.
Idiot!
Ouch. I was just kidding. No, I mean, I know those things, but I was just teasing you about... okay. Zelgadis, your turn in the spotlight. Zello smiled. You're my confidants and my closest friends. I want you both to find happiness. He stalled in midair. Before he regained altitude, Lena asked,
Why did you turn down the doctor's offer of a cure? Need air!
Zelgadis? Oh, better open the door, Lena, and get him more air. Zelgadis, take deep breaths of that night air, Zelos crooned.
And make it snappy! Moths are getting in! Lena shouted.
You sure do have a way to get out of a tense situation and avoid talking about how you feel, Zelos giggled at his friend.
Shut up,
asshole!
Zell gasped. All right, back on cruise control. Zell glared at the other guy. Have you had enough of this yet?
No,
Zello smiled. Luckily, I can talk to Val about personal interrelationships. He's rather astute.
What? Not like that. He's not actually very experienced with sex. Not like you might expect from the way he talks at times.
Zelgaris, stop that. It's just a word. Say it. Sex, 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 ack!
You threw a sock at me, Lena.
Anyway, if you guys have settled your relationship for the night, I'm going. Actually, I'm going no matter what. You can stay here and explore the depths of your souls all night if you want.
Zell snorted.
Lena retrieved the first sock and sent it sailing through the air, past Zell, and then hitting Zelos in the head. Zell made it all the way to the door before Zelos called out, "Wait up! I'm coming, too!"
"And stay out!" yelled Lena.
"Ah! Males! Single-minded animals!"
She really wasn't terribly angry, just uncomfortable. Oh, joy.
Thanks, Zelos. Zell grumbled on his way back to the lion's den.
For what, you ask?
For alienating Lena. Now she'll never want us back over there to talk.
I think you're wrong, Zelgaris. I think Lena needs to talk to someone about how she feels sometimes. And you're her best friend, and I'm only like her evil conscience.
But I'm a guy. She'll talk to Amelia, or... Amelia's good for that stuff. Lena and I are not about that. Now, good night. I'm going to bed and forget this day happened.
I bet you won't. Zelos giggled and disappeared into his room. The next morning, Val answered the door.
Too early for visitors. What in the hell do you want? Oh, Officer McGuinn, come in. Sorry. Zell and me are eating. Can I get you some coffee or anything?
Coffee sounds good. Thank you, boy. Is Zellos up as well? The heavyset man asked as he pulled out a chair at the table alongside Zelgaris.
Nah, he doesn't have to. I'm going to school, you see, and Zell here is a morning guy.
Val answered comfortably. He had nothing to hide these days, and McGuinn had gotten him that clean record and driver's license. So he was polite to the man. Zelgaris, on the other hand, sat back, arms folded, and scowled menacingly.
You have to go through me to get to him. What's your business?
Val looked incredulously at his friend. Zell was being rude for no particular reason, he thought.
I'd like to ask him a few questions,
McGuinn answered cagily.
Sorry. He's not responsible for his answers or actions,
Zell said curtly and left the table. He took a couple of steps to a bulletin board he directed and pulled off an envelope thumbtacked in the center. He returned to the table, flinging the paper from the envelope at the officer.
Psychiatric release form. I'm the one you talk to.
I see. Well, Mr. Greywords, we were once good friends, you and I was a-hopin' we could... just discuss this like friends. McGuinn unfolded the obituary page from the morning's paper and pointed to one article in particular.
You can see how it caught my eye?
Zell didn't flinch a muscle. Val leaned over for a better view.
So, some old guy died. Always do, don't they? What?
He read further to where McGuinn was underlining the name, Zellos Metallium.
Hey, Zelos has another inheritance from a guy he played chess with? Some guys just can't lose.
Seems unusual, since he'd only been visiting from the school for a few weeks. So I placed a few phone calls. Apparently, both of your kids, by the description it was you with him, paid the man a social call yesterday afternoon. They played chess, and Zelos beat him, and they shook hands. Yes, they sent me the video over the internet. I've looked it over a few times. Now, something might have been passed between them, but before I go and waste the taxpayers' money on some overpaid technician to enhance the details so I can be sure, I thought I'd come and ask you.
Zell didn't even blink. Zelos got a note from the school, forwarded from the Whispering Oaks. I wasn't going to take him over, but he felt duty-bound. You saw what I saw. They play chess, one game. Zelos won. They said their goodbyes. We left. Now Val has to leave for classes, and I have Lena's breakfast to prepare. No small task. Excuse me. The officer sighed. I don't want to bring more grief into this house, son. Then go, Zell admonished him. McGuinn tried again. Trust me. What you say will go no further than this room. Trust you? Zell spun around to face the much bigger man. I've done nothing else, and look what happened. Val risked his life. My father did too. And what for? So that you could let the CIA kill Zelos' mother? Val grew rigid. Zell rarely showed this much anger to an adult. Zell looked up at the officer with his icy cold, scar-encrusted stare, and continued. No one helped us at Reedco, or at the Mountain Pass. Gov was torturing Zelos, and where were you guys? If not for Milgazia, Zelos would be dead too. Who stopped Fabrizio from killing Gov, or kidnapping Gowrie? Why couldn't any of those men in black get us out of that shrine before Lena had to take a bullet? Why wait? Weren't they trained to save Gowrie before we risked our necks? He gave McGuinn no chance to answer. He just tore on. The problem is, I did trust you. I trusted you all along to do something. But then, Zelos made one mistake. He gave away the secret to the pendant seals. Did Milgazia offer to tell you about the clan's use of theirs as a signature device? No. Don't you think he knew about them? The clan uses them as well. Zell swallowed and took another breath before finishing his tirade. But Zelos innocently did, and then they took it and with it betrayed his mother. And now she's dead, and he knows he was responsible, and he has to live with that, along with other baggage to fill a 100-mile-long freight train. So from my perspective, I've trusted you enough, and now I owe you nothing. McGuinn's face dropped with the weight of great sorrow.
Aye, the way you tell it, boy. I dunna blame you one bit for being mad. Trouble is, you've got me mixed up with the FBI and CIA. Oh, I know you're thinking I'm gonna pass on the blame. I won't do that. I didn't mean for it all to turn out the way it did. I'd a hoped to save his mother for the federal court system, but I underestimated those men, too. I gave him a vial from Dr. Adams. It was his decision to use it or not, Zelos said from the entrance to the kitchen. Zelgadas, thank you, but let me say this. That man was a dirty, vile old man who'd hurt many others. His son was worse, and dead. His grandson was dead as well. I had betrayed his grandson's trust, and so owed him this last gesture of compassion. You see, he contacted me. The syndicate's retribution for his poor judgment would not have been so merciful. Now, do I need to fill in names? What are you going to do to me?
You should have told me back at the hospital. We could have brought the old bird in.
McGuinn shook his head. No, they would have gotten to him first. Besides, I had to. It was in my contract. I am now released from the syndicate. All contracts are closed. Otherwise, I would be considered in active duty, on call, bound to them. Now I'm free. Are you going to lock me up?
Zelos met the officer's gaze, searching for an answer. No, son. In fact, it seems that I inadvertently left that video in the car window, melted that evidence. He was dying anyway. You did him a favor, as I can see it. It's a case closed. Crazy old coot gives inheritance to the only person who gave him the time of day, after mourning the death of his only living relatives. Yeah, sounds all right to me. Well, thanks for the coffee. And Zelgadas, thanks for watching out for my son and getting him out of that exploding building.
Val looked confused for a moment, and Zelos just gaped. Zelgadis gasped. No, not Zangalus. I've met his parents, and you weren't one of them. Miguin motioned for everyone to sit down. This'll take a bit of time to tell. To start, his mother remarried. That's why you haven't seen much of me. The rest, well, you Zelos enter into it. Funny how that is, eh? Zell leaned back, but said nothing. Zelos smiled. Val remained standing, hands fumbling in a pocket. Miguin continued. So my son was about 10. I was the driver and lost control of the car. He was almost killed. I visited him in the hospital every day till he was well enough to carry home. I'd just brought him home that very day when I got the call from the dance studio. Zell glanced at Zelos, who looked down at his hands, not a happy memory. Miguin sighed and said, When I saw that poor boy's body, Zelos here, I saw my own son tortured to death. I was so crazy I nearly tore that Dubois monster apart with my own hands. We got that man, didn't we, boys? But I lost my son. His mother never forgave me for the accident that nearly cost our boy's life. She left and took him away. After a while, he no longer wanted to visit me on weekends. But miracles do happen. One day he came to see me. We got talking about his life and friends, your band, fencing. I gave him my grandfather's sword, an heirloom sword, related to that of the Gabriels, by the way. I told him it wasn't a toy. He respected that. Then, months later, the day came for you boys and girls to leave. I told him that if the opportunity should arise that he should be required to use that sword, then he should take it and use it wisely and help. He didn't know what I was getting at the time, but when the opportunity arose, he acted courageously to save his friends. That's what I was talking about, Zelgadis. Now I got my boy back safely, and we visit on weekends. Zelos grinned. Have you met his new girlfriend? No? Oh, well, be prepared. Zell found his voice. So you knew he was in that building, and you still went to Wolfpack Island to capture Zelos? That was my duty. I trusted you and those men in black to protect my boy. But I knew this other lad, Val, and your father were going off needing me to do my job. The fact is that you got shafted by the FBI and CIA too, Val interrupted Miguin. Yeah. Zelgadis nodded. I see. I owe you an apology, Officer Miguin. You've always been good to us. I should have known better. I feel better about Zangalus now, too. It always bothered me how he just materialized there with Silphiel and her father on the way to Syrog Shrine. Val nudged Zell and said, He does play the saxophone, in the high school jazz band, you know. Figuring that Zell needed further prodding, Val said, Shit, that new song of yours could use a wailing sax solo, right? Zelgadis smiled faintly. Perhaps. It's something to mention to Lena. But on that song, I think it's all right. Ah, shit! I'm gonna be late! Val yelled as he checked the time. My fault, smiled the officer. Tell you what, I'll give you a ride. Do I have to sit in the back? Well, you should, but just this once. Miguin led the way out to the door of the patrol car. Front seat! Val laughed. I can tell everyone I'm thinking of being a cop. Not a bad job for a smart lad like you, Val, Miguin said with a quizzical expression. Oh, yeah? Well, maybe so. But I don't gotta do no work if I don't want to, you know, Val smiled smugly. No, you're not a rich boy type. Just think about it, son. So, another chapter closed on the terrible event which marred the Slayer's spring break. And Zelos was right. Tension eased between Lena and her two male attendants. Zelos teased her, but she knew he was not predatory. Zelgadis ignored them, knowing it was harmless. And so the bones knitted, the bruises faded, and the wounds healed. Time raced on. Thursday afternoon in late May.
When the day came to remove the bandages, they all met at the doctor's office together. Technicians cut off Silphiel's cast, freeing her arm at last.
"Oh, my arm looks so shriveled and pale, but at least it isn't so heavy."
Amelia was never so happy than to walk again without restriction.
"And to wear pants again!" she cried joyfully.
Gowrie felt strong enough to pick up something heavy and...
"Put me down this instant!"
Lena screeched as he tossed her up and down a couple of times.
"Just testing, Lena," he smiled, "in case I need to save you again."
"If you don't watch it, Buster, you're the one who's gonna need saving!"
Val and Philia had come along for the show, laughing and cheering them along.
"Me next!" hollered Lena. "You said these could come off by today, and damned if I'm gonna wait any longer!"
Zelos opened his eyes and grinned evilly.
"Adams is busy, but if you're in that big of a hurry, I'll call Dr. Zell."
"Ho, Zell goddess!
Lena needs her..."
Val silenced him with a wad of cotton balls and some surgical tape. Dr. Adams was with Zell in his room, showing him where to snip the tape, which held his ribcage together. Zell unwrapped his own ribs and suggested that the doctor...
"Attend to that idiot next for me. He claims to be ticklish, and I'm not going to touch him."
Dr. Adams chuckled. "I see. You've had enough of doctoring for a while?" Zell shook his head.
"No, only of that particularly difficult patient."
"Okay, I was intending to do it anyway," Adams said good-naturedly. When he was satisfied with Zell's condition, the doctor checked in on Zelos next door. Zell had followed surreptitiously and opened the door wide. As the bandages were removed, dozens of rubbery vinyl toy bugs fell off, appearing to be crawling out of his chest. To add to the illusion, Zelgadas recoiled in horror, and Zelos moaned and groaned. Not only the slayers, but all the office staff came running to the room to see what the tragedy was being played out inside. Everyone, Adams included, were taken in by the joke for a few seconds. When the realization that it was unreal swept through the crowd, Lena had to be gently restrained from causing new damage to her practical joking friends.
"It was Zelgadas's idea," Zelos whined. "Pound on him, not me," he pleaded.
"That will cost you extra, Mr. Greywords," warned the good doctor. But the twinkle in his eye and the subsequent chuckles let them all know that he considered it a joke. Lena was last, much to her chagrin. The doctor took his time to test her strength and set her straight about her reduced activity. "The wounds are healed, but you've lost muscle mass. You must work up slowly to where you were before. Here's a booklet with specific exercises designed to get back that muscle tone. Also, you'll need to see a physical therapist for the next 2 weeks. Now don't groan. She's very good, and it will get you in shape that much faster. Expensive? Lena, this is all covered by your policy." "Yes, Rezo assured me," and Luna was standing there nodding her head. "Now, get dressed and go join your friends." It was Thursday evening, and to celebrate, they all went out for pizza, followed by ice cream. For Zelgadas, however, it was a bittersweet moment. He was glad to have his friends healthy again, but it signaled time for a change. Zelos noticed his downcast demeanor and flung a cherry at him off his spoon.
"Don't think about that tonight. You have all day tomorrow to mope."
Zell caught the offending fruit in a lightning-quick mood.
"I'll brood if I want to."
He flicked it off a finger, propelling the red blob at Zelos' nose.
"Bingo," Zell smirked.
"So," Lena shouted above the din, "how about a song? One of ours."
She grinned on their way out to the van.
"We'll practice all the way home. Zelos, you do the honors and pick one."
"Ah, that's okay, Lena. Go ahead. You are the leader."
He smiled easily. "Okay, name one. Zelos? Anyone?"
"What?"
She stopped abruptly at the door to the van.
I
can't seem to remember any. But I'm a very fast learner.
He smiled weakly.